Okay, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Aleph. Vayaviu es Aaron Hulakim vayatzigo se besoch oil. Asher nota lo David. They have now succeeded in transporting the Aaron from the home of Obed Edom to Ir David, and they yatzigu means they station it. That's a very good word. Inyan Amida, the Mitsudo Sion, Inyan Amida, they position it. Also, does not say Vayanichu. It's a much more powerful word, that it stands on its own. It stands there also besoch on the tent, Asher Nata Lo David, Vayakribu Oilos L'Shlamim L'Fnei Olokim, and they offered in thanksgiving to Kadosh Baruch Hu, they offered Oilos and Shlamim L'Fnei Olokim to give Shevach V'Hoidah to Hashem, that He allowed them to succeed in this process, in transferring the Aron. Pasuk, yeah.
The word Vayasigu, yeah, have any relationship to Vayasigu, that they reached.
Hasaga? I don't know.
Interchange a word.
I do not know. Generally, we don't interchange words unless we have a chazal, a source, letters, and then write letters, yeah.
Reach.
Is there a relation between a tzadi and a sin? Hasaga? I don't know. I understand what you're trying to say.
The word out and they reached.
Hasaga. Hasaga means to reach. I do not know. Seemingly, it's a different word. It's okay. Unless we have a chazal that tells us otherwise, it would seem that here means vayatzigu is they stationed it. It's a powerful word. It's not just something that they put it there. Nu, here's the aron. Nu, there it is. Storage. That's lashon of vayanichu sham or vayasimu. They put it. Vayatzigu means it's a living Torah. It's standing there. It's serving us. We derive benefit from it. It's alive. It's a much more powerful connotation. Pasuk Beis. Vayichal David mehalos oilo v'hashlamim. After David finished offering up the oil and the shlamim, vayivarech asam b'shem Hashem, he blessed the klal Yisrael name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Gimel. Vayichalek l'chol ish yisrael me'ish v'arisha he distributed portions. Every member of Klal Yisrael, from man until woman, leish, for each individual man, kikar lechem, a loaf of bread, ve'eshbor va'ashisha. Now, what are those two words? Eshbor, according to the Mitzvot, means a mone yofe, a large piece of meat. He gave them a loaf of bread. Ve'eshbor is a reference to meat, a piece of meat, a mone yofe. Va'ashisha means a glass, a jug of wine, a measure of wine. Let's see the Mitzudos David Pasik. Right, they were celebrating. Okay, now just look at the Mitzudos Sion. Mitzudos Sion with the Eshbar. Inyin Mone Yafel, whom Eloshon Imre Shofar, words of beauty. Like shofar. Shofar means shifru masecha, make your deeds beautiful. He gave them a portion that was yafeh, that was befitting for an honored person, va'ashisha, the mitzudos Sion, kain shem hakli, asher yosimu bo hayayin. It's the name of a goblet, a utensil which you put wine. V'chein samchuni bo ashisha, support me with cups of wine. That's so same context. Now let's look. The Rashi has a different interpretation. Let's look at Rashi pasuk beis. Va'yivarech. Es on b'shem Hashem shnikral al aron. He blessed Klai Yisrael name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Shechina is resting on the aron. Shnikral shem al aron. He will save l'mala. Es aron v'lekim Hashem yeshev akruv Hashem nikra shem. He blessed Hashem. He blessed the Klai Yisrael name of Hashem that is resting upon the surface of the aron. Okay, gimel v'eshbar echad mishisha bapar. Not like the mitzudos. Eshbar comes from the word six. From it's the par, it's a composite of two words. It's a composite. We have the shin. The shin stands for sheish. I guess the aleph stands for echad. Aleph shin peresh. Aleph is echad. Shin is shisha. And par is an amu. It's 1/6 of a bull. That's an enormous portion. He's giving each person an enormous piece of meat. They had a lot of animals, obviously. The ashisha. A whole year, but it's a quite a man. But also, there's no refrigeration in those days. How exactly did they preserve it? In those days, we always say they had walking refrigerators. If you wanted to preserve meat, you don't shecht it. You let the animal, you keep it alive until the very, very last moment. Because how else are you going to preserve meat?
Salt.
Well, Yeah, assault's a long process. Let the animal live. Let it walk around. Walking refrigerators. Fresh. Kaviyash Shisha.
Where is Ohana?
They're here. They're all over the place.
Okay.
So these are not necessarily korbanos. I mean, these are shlamim. So a shlam can be eaten by a carbon shlam can be eaten by any member of Klal Yisrael. A carbon chatos, carbon kodesh kodesh, eaten by kohanim. But the carbon shlam can be eaten by anyone. Vashisha echad mishisha behin. So a shisha, according to Rashi, it's a similar word. A shisha is a sixth. Also from the sheish, a sixth of a hin. His the hin is 12 log. To try to get an idea, I'm not too good with numbers, but we have a kiddush cup, which is approximately, let's say, 4 or 5 ounces, is a quarter of a log. Okay, a quarter, 1/4. Multiply that by 4. So think of kiddush cups. We have 4 kiddush cups. 4 kiddush cups, approximately 1 log. Multiply that by 12. So that is a hin. So he gave them here 1/6 of a hin, which is 2 log. 2 log, which would be about 8 kiddush cups. 8 kiddush cups of wine. So how many a bottle? What is that? Like
8 times
6. So what is that? 2 liters? 2 liters? Something like that? A little bit more, maybe a liter and a half.
Half a gallon. No, 32
ounces. 4 ounces. A quart. No, a little bit more than a quart.
32 ounces. Well, if you say 8 kiddush cups, it's 4 ounces. It's 32.
Okay. All right.
32. 32 is a half a gallon.
So that's how much wine.
Quart. 64.
Go shopping in your.
64 is a gallon. No, 64 is a half a gallon. 128 is a gallon.
A gallon is 128.
In America. Half a gallon is 64.
That's right.
32 is
right. Okay, Vashisha Echad Mishisha Behin Vashisha Dugmas Ashishe Anovim Tsiloches. Another pasuk where it's used, I don't know, I'm not familiar with this pasuk, it's used in reference to a container of wine. Okay, let's go back to the text. Pasuk Dalid. We mentioned that Vayitein Lifnei Aron Hashem Min HaLeviyim Misharsim. He positioned before the Aron Hashem from the Leviyim as Misharsim, servants. Ulahaskir, and to mention Hashem's name, Ulahodos Ulahalel, three different expressions. Now, it's a new concept. Lahazkir means to constantly remind yourself of Hashem, to give thanks and to give praise. The Hashem location. There's once a Rosh used to walk into the Beis Medrash, it was an incredible hasmada, and to give a clap on the Bima and say, Rabbi, I want to remind you of something. There's a Rebbeinu Shalom. Just because you're very busy learning Torah, you can forget this. Rebbeinu Shalom. So just because you're busy, lahoidos ulahala, you're busy giving thanks, you're singing beautiful music and songs of praise, just make sure, lahazgir, make sure that you remember and you mention that all of these songs and praises are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't lose focus of the objective. That's what it seems to be saying of you. Lahazgir, lahoidos ulahala, he appointed Levim to be there 24/7 in front of the Aron, and to constantly remember that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam Lahazkir, to mention Hashem, and after they mention Hashem, Ulahodes to give thanks, Ulahalo to praise Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Now we begin to list the Kohanim and the Levim that were appointed, specifically the Levim that were appointed to be positioned in front of the Aron for this period of time. Here we go, Pasuk Hey, Asaf Harosh, the one that was in charge was Asaf. Umishneu Zechari. Many of these people, the people we had before in the previous two parakim, the leaders of the various families of the Levim. So Asaf Harayish, Umishneu Zechari. Then we have Yiel. And there's Umishneu was Zechari, Yiel, Ushmi Ramos, Vichiel, Umatisya, Ve'eliov, Uvinayahu, Yoved Edom, Viel. All of these people, they all stood Bechlei Nevalim uvechina Rois. They all stood there with harps and with flutes and harps. The wind, we always say the wind instruments and the string instruments. V'asaf bim bim bam tziltayim ashmiya, and asaf he would bang with the cymbals. V'nayahu v'yach ziel hakoyanim. These are the koyanim. They blew the trumpets. B'chatzoytros tamid were always tamid constantly. In charge of the trumpets, Lefnei Aroin Bris or Elokim, before the Aroin Bris or Elokim. We mentioned many of these things yesterday. Okay, let's see what the Rashi says. Rashi Pasik Dalit. Ulahaskul Hodis Lahalel, Lahaskil Lemar Isin Shne Mizmarim, Shakasa Bohem Mizmar Ladavid, Mizmar Ladavid, Lahaskir Ulahoidos, Hoidu Lashem Kiru Vishwan. This is what we're coming to in a few moments. We're coming to Pasuk Ches, all the way to the end of the Perek, not all to the end, but all the way towards the end of the Perek. We're going to go through a Mizmor in Tehillim. It's repeated here, a section of Tehillim is repeated word for word. This is the Mizmor Lamed Ches, and it appears here in Divrei Hayamim, and this was recited in front of the Aron. So when it says Lahazkir means twice, we only say every single day in the morning, the Levim would sing the Psukim that we are about to read. We say it every single day in Davening. In the afternoon, they would sing another section. We say it by Shachris, but at the time, this time of David put the Aron in the ear of David, it was said in the afternoon when they offered the Talmud Shalbein Harabayim. Okay, we'll see that in a few moments. But Rashi at least gives us a head up and tells that the Lahazkir, he means to mention the Pshnei Mizmarim Shakosu Bochem Mizmar L'David Lahazkir, a song for David Lahazkir. It's in Tehillim Lamed Ches Ulahodos Hodu Lashem Kiru V'Shmo, like we're going to see these two parokim, Perek Lamed Ches and Perek Kuf Hei. Ulehalel, the Oisa Mizmorim Shem Shemaschilim Haleluka. So here he says, Lehalel does not refer specifically, according to Rashi, to the Mizmor of the Halelukas. The last five Perakim of Tehillim. The last five Perakim of Tehillim are the Halelukas, which we say every single day in Psukei Dezimra. Those are what it means here, Ulehalel. Pasik Vav. Uvinayahu, Viachziel, Hakayanim Chatzotos Tabit, Chatzotos Kleshir, Shokayanim Hu, Dugmolomalo, Vishevnoyahu, Ubinayahu Viloz, Hakayanim Chatzotrim, Bechatzotos. We had yesterday that we took the verb, the noun of a trumpet, and we made it into a verb. They blew the trumpets. So here Rashi is telling us a very nice yesoid that Koyahanim also had Kleshir. There are clay shear for Levim, and there are clay shear for Koyhanim. The clay shear for the Levim are the Nevalim, are the flutes, and the kinoros. And the clay shear, the musical instruments that were designated for the Koyhanim, are the trumpets. Okay, next Pasuk. Bayoimahu on that day, Pasuk Zayin. Oz on that day, Oz Nosan David Berosh. David, on that day, he gave over... Osaf, the word Oz is going on, Nosan is going on the end of the Pasuk. Bayamahu Oz, then Nosan David Barosh Lahodos Lashem Biyad Osaf the Echav. On this day, when the Aaron was transferred to your David, David appointed Osaf to be the leader of the Levium in music for all generations. His descendants, he would be the one that would have this bracha to be in charge, and it would pass to his children throughout all generations to lead Klal Yisrael in song in front of the Aron. He was the conductor of the orchestra, more than just the conductor. I think we learned that. I don't know if I see it over, but I vaguely remember learning. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm making a mistake, but if I'm not mistaken, but I do remember learning this in the beginning of Divrei Hayamim. We learned about Asaf, the whole Yichus of Asaf, and it was Asaf's family that was always in charge. Many of the positions in time of Tanakh, once they were appointed, it wasn't taken away from the family. It wasn't just like you know, today you get a job, and then when you retire, that's it. Whoever, you know, you have to, we don't give any kedima. Today the society is set up where they rarely give kedima to a family member over someone from the outside. What?
Yeshivas.
Well, the private yeshivas, that's a different business. It was a private business. Talking about public institutions. a rabbi could call the rabbis, that's chassidus. But I'm talking about public institutions. Right. Let's say dealing with even shuls, right? Well, shuls have a board.
From the very beginning.
You have a shul that has a board. So do they give kedima to the rabbi's son when the rabbi retires? So some shuls they do. But more often than not, I think they don't. They don't. If it's a public institution,
the case has to be judged separately.
Well, there are laws in Shulchan Aruch. There are halachas Shulchan Aruch that a son does have in a position of a kedusha. There are such halachas where a son does have kedima. What?
By chazan. But the Gemara talks about the way they sat.
So it's not so simple. Even though you have an institution where there's a board, and it's a public, it's not a chazakah. There are halachas of Shulchan Aruch that if you give a person a position, he has a son. The son is roy, is fitting, is roy. So he does have kedima. It all depends. It's a very complicated issue. I'm not talking about a private institution. I'm talking about a private business, right? So you take your son into your business, do whatever you want. It's your private business. Many yeshivas today are. And many shuls, that's the pattern today, that's the style today, are private shuls, private yeshivas. So there is no board. And being a private institution has malos and chesronos. The major chesron is that you have a headache of doing the fundraising yourself. The mila is you call the shots. No one tells you what to do.
Take the garbage out yourself.
So many times, if you look around, I'm not going to go give you names. I can go look at all the yeshivas. Some of the yeshivas are very successful. Are the private yeshivas?
True.
Yeah. Because the private yeshivas, you care about it. Something you have a vested interest in it for your family, for parnasa, for your family, whatever it is. And the institutions which are run publicly, there are successful yeshivas. Look, YU is very successful. You can't say that. It's extremely successful. That's a public institution.
But
I mean, public. But you go, there are others. I'm not going to give you names. There are other institutions that are public, and they're not run well. What can I tell you? They're not. They just don't.
Democracy
doesn't go. Private institutions. On the other hand, private institutions have a lot of chesronos. All right, but the point over here is I do recall from memory. I don't have a source, but just keep this in mind. Asaf, this pasuk here was appointed by David to serve as the leader of the Levium and Song. Did this position pass to his children? We have to go back to the beginning of Divrei Hayamim and look at the different people who played music. If I'm not mistaken, it did. It did go down to his children and grandchildren. Once he got that role, there's a davisha, the kedusha, to lead. It's not a guarantee. Look, let's talk about a king. So we have a lacha of the king and the kohen gadol. Does it go down by Yerusha? One does and one does not. The king does, the kohen gadol does not. Yet we find that during the Bayis Rishon always did go down. It went down in the family to the next generation. Even though halacha, there's no obligation that the son of the kohen gadol shall take over. It just happened to be that it did because there are different guidelines that are generally followed. Let's go further. Oz Nosan David Barosh Lahodos Lashem Biyad Osaf Yechov. Let's see the Mitsudos Pasuk Zion. Oz Nosan Barosh Oz Mosar Betchila Biyad Osaf Lahodos Lashem Bezeh Hashir. So the Pasuk is not written in a form that we are familiar with. It's a different type of style of writing. Oz Nosan, you have to take the words Oz Nosan Barosh and connect that with Biyad Osav Ve'echof. You have to chop up words, cut and paste. Bayomahu, no, Oz, Nosan, skip the word David, Nosan Barosh, Biyad Osav Echof. Who? David. David went and he appointed this family, Osav, and his brothers to lead. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk zay lahoidos Hashem yad Asav yachav shasav haya maskil lahoidu Hashem kiyu b'shmo v'achrei kein kolechav oynim achrav v'dugma b'yezra. So Rashi here is giving us a little bit of more of an elaboration of what it means. Berosh means that Asav would recite one pasuk and everyone would respond. That's why he's called Rosh. According to Rat in the Mitzudos, Rosh simply means he is in charge. He makes the decision when to sing, when not to sing, what melody, what musical instruments, so on and so forth. Rashi is giving us more of a medrash and telling us the technique, like Shiras Hayam. Oz Yashir Moshe V'nei Yisrael Shiras Az Hashem V'yimru Le Moshir L'Hashem Ki Go'o Go'o. There's much discussion among the Rishonim about how exactly Klal Yisrael sang the Shira. Did every single member of Klal Yisrael sing it word for word? Or did Moshe recite the Pesukim? And Klal Yisrael responded, Ashir L'Hashem Ki Go'o Go'o. Miriam, she sang Sus V'rochlo Rav Avayam. And how did all the women respond? Ashir L'Hashem Ki Go'o Go'o. If you look in the Rishonim by Shiras Yom, you'll find a collection of Rishonim who disagree exactly the way it took place at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, how Klal Yisrael sang the Shira. Here, there's a similar form. They're singing Shira every single day. Hodu Lashem Kirushmo, we say every single day, Shachris Psuga de Zimra. How was it done? Rashi says, Sha'asaf Hoyim Maschil, Hodu Lashem Kirushmo, the Achre Chain, Kol Echov Oinim Acharov, everyone would answer. What exactly would they answer? So Rashi doesn't tell us. Either they answered word for word, they repeated the words of Asaf, or they repeat a refrain. There was some expression, it could be the first words, Hodu Lashem Kirushmo. That's what they repeated. Also would say, Shirulo, Zamrulo, Sichu, B'chol, Nifli, Yosef. And the people who responded, Hoidu Lashem, Kiru Vishmo. That's a very popular, very very common technique that's found responsive. But they did not say it word for word. They did not, like what we do in Yom Yoram. The Shliach Tzibor starts. We're always one ahead or one behind. Different Pizmoinim, Piyutim, sometimes the custom is that we are one ahead of the Shliach Tzibor, and sometimes we repeat what the Shliach Tzibor says, right? Different customs. So that's not necessarily the way it was done. Do you ever daven, anyone have the good fortune to daven Tfilas Yom Kippur Katan? Anyone daven Yom Kippur Katan? You gotta do everything once in a while. I always tell you this. You gotta have a full life experience. Once in your life, you have to dive in Yom Kippur Katan to see what it's all about.
What is it?
Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh, there's something called Tfilas Yom Kippur Katan. Today it became a big thing. Until a couple of years ago, I never even knew what it was. The first time I heard about Yom Kippur Katan was probably 10, 15 years ago when Rosh Chodesh Elul, only for Rosh Chodesh Elul, in the yeshiva, they had a private minyan in the office of the Rosh HaYeshiva, private minyan for Yom Kippur Katan. I didn't go. I just heard that, they're having a private minyan, wants to go. Then the next year, they decided they can have it in the Beis Medrash. They went public. And then, now it's like a standard thing. This past year, Elul, it was all over the place. Almost every yeshiva and many shuls, even the simple Bate Knesios, they had for Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, what's called Yom Kippur Kadar. Mincha. The Mincha before Rosh Chodesh, in the Nus Siddur, there's a special long Nusach. It's a very long Nusach. You say it after you finish the Shemona Esrei, you have to go look in the Siddur.
What is being said?
Slichos, Piyutin. Now, Nusach Svard has a special niglun. It's a very nice niglun. Nusach Ashkenaz, Litvaks don't know how to sing it. You go to a Litvisha Yom Kippur Kata, they just say the words without any niglun. But if you go to the Hasidisha Minyanim, or you go to a Litvisha Minyan, where they get a Hasidisha, someone that has a little Hasidisha blood in him, to be the Shliach Tzibor, there's a niglun. I was discussing this with someone recently, and he told me, by the Litvaks, there's no niggun. They don't know from this, because it's a Hasidisha thing. So the only ones that invented or created a melody, a niggun, a special nusach, were the Hasidim. And the Litvaks, who do it right, they do it with that niggun. But the point I want to make is, that is an example, the only place I've really seen where you just respond. You don't actually say the nusach. The Shliach Tzibor says, I would say probably 80%, and the people in the audience just respond. You have to take out an art school sitter. It's, and the article said today they have the nusach of Yom Kippur Katan. And the over here what it says, Hoy Lashem Kir B'Shmo. How, what is the form of giving Shira? So on the Yom Narayim, probably 95% of the time we don't respond. We, whatever the Shliach Tzibur says, we say. Either we say it in advance or we repeat it. Each stanza, each line, each paragraph, we say it and the Shliach Tzibur says it. Or the Shliach Tzibur says and we repeat it. Rarely in the Nusach HaTfilah do you have a situation where the Shliach Tzibur says one piece, one section, and the Tzibur responds with something else. Then the Shliach Tzibur says this part, and the Tzibur responds. I don't know, where do we have that? You know where we have that? We have that Anim Zemiros.
Right.
Yeah. Anim Zemiros, right?
With a different line.
A different line, right. That's a very good example.
Sure,
Anim Zemiros. Right. But even there we say do we say it? I don't remember all the details. But that's a very good example. On Shabbos, those who are still fortunate enough to say Anim Zemiros in their shul.
Akdamas,
right. Very good. Akdamas. Anim Zemiros.
But
you say the whole thing.
Says first, and the says,
but the Olam says every single line. They say every single line. But Akdamas. So that's just an example. Geshem. But we say. But everyone says it.
Not the whole thing.
I don't remember. How does it go?
No. Not the whole thing. Right. You say Vital.
Okay, another example. Tal and Geshem, you just say Batal. Okay, that's right. But a Yom Kippur Katan, there the whole thing is like that. Basically, the Shliach Tzibur says the whole thing, and you just answer little bits and pieces here and there. So that's over here. Who's the one that leads? So that's what Rashi was over telling us. He was the one that led. He's the one that started. And they would answer. What would they answer? It's not clear. Either they would answer just a short response, or they would answer the entire line. Next, v'dugma b'Ezra, u'matanya ben Micha ben Zavdi ben Asaf Rosh. So here we have another person. You see over here, Ezra is appointing in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Ezra was appointing a person to lead. Who was this person? We have his name. U'matanya ben Micha ben Zavdi ben Asaf. Now, obviously, these are not. If this Asaf, it's not clear. If this is the same Asaf, because it can't possibly be that these were children. One or the other, we would have to be skipping many generations. Is it the same Asaf? Maybe yes, maybe not. Or is it so? But we have over here another idea that Rosh HaTehila, he was the head of Tehila Yehuda Lutfila. He was the beginning. He was the one that led. Rosh HaTehila, Yehuda Litzvila, Yehuda led the prayer, L'chol Klei HaYadois, Shemoi, Kedil Sibi, Ezra, Halvim, Yeshua, Beno, Kadmiel, Sharam, Yehuda, Matanya, Al HaYadois. Yados is the name of a certain type of musical instrument. Okay, so we have different examples where, and even in Ezra, where in Nechem in Ezra, where they appointed certain people to lead, to take charge of the service. Okay, now we come to the actual song that they sang. Now, of course, this has been incorporated into our Nusach HaTfilah. We say this every single day. So when we say Psuk the Zimra, and there are two parts, everything here from Pasuk Ches until Pasuk Chof Gimel, not including Chof Gimel, is what was said in the morning by the Talmud Shel Shachar in the morning. From Pasuk Chof Gimel until Pasuk Lamed Zayin was said by the Talmud Shel Bein Ho'arbayim in the afternoon. So because we do not have Sukkot Zimra by Mincha, we just go right into the Shemona Esrei. That's why Chazal have taken the entire Nusach for Shachris and for Mincha, and they've put it into Hodu for Psuk the Zimra in the morning. Because here we go. So here starts the Shira. Hodu Lashem Kir B'Shmo. And many of the Farshim learned that this Nusach was said specifically. You can read into the words of the Nusach the event, the entire story of the transfer of the Aron from Kiryas Yeorim to Ir David, the entire process, first the attempt to go from Kiryas Yearim to Ir David and the tragedy of Uzzah. Uzzah was killed because he tried to touch the Aron, and then they had no choice but to divert the Aron to Oved Edom, and then the success later on in taking it to Ir David. Now, when we mention this, once we mention the transport of the Aron, we also allude to different things that happened when the Aron was captured by the Pelishtim at the time of Shiloh, and the miracle of the Aron being sent back by the Pelishtim to Kiryas Yearim in the wagons that were being pulled miraculously by the Poros. And the Poros were also singing Shir. Now, what do you want to say?
Yeah, we just mentioned Obed Edom, who seems to have been a very important person, and yet he doesn't get any kavod from David HaMelech. He only gets him a kodesh baruch hu.
Hashem blessed him.
Right. But I would think that as someone who did what he did and brought, it was influential in bringing the Aron.
Well, he didn't bring it. He hosted it.
Right.
He hosted it.
He
was the host of the Aron during that period of time, and he was blessed. He has six children, six in one shot, and his daughter-in-law also had six in one shot. So, I mean...
And then they are just mentioning him among eight people, and it's like, it's incidental. It's not like...
Well, he was a very great person. There are two Oved Edoms. There's an Oved Edom over here that's mentioned among the Levim. There's another Oved Edom that's mentioned before. There was a Metzuzah we learned yesterday, they were not the same. So there are multiple Oved Edom. So we have to really know, maybe there were three. There was the Oved Edom who actually was the host. We have the name appearing again.
I don't know. Levim.
No, it could be one was a Kohen, I think. We mentioned one was a Kohen. It was one. It could be the one that was the host was the Yisrael. I do not know. I do not know of all these Oved Edoms. There were definitely more than one Oved Edom. Maybe there were three. I don't know. But you're right. Okay, so it's not incidental. The fact that he's mentioned here is a very great honor that he does appear on this list. Okay, so we have to, when we learn this, say this Shira, and this Shira is going to be alluded to all of the events, all of the periods of time when the Aron was transferred from one location to another. The time it was transferred by the Pelishtim to Kiryas Yearim, the time it was transferred from Kiryas Yearim to Oved Edom, and that during that time there was a tragedy of Uzzah, and then the third time when it was transferred from Oved Edom to Ir David. All that is alluded to in these words. There is a Medrash. The Medrash says that this entire Shira that we're going to read now until the end was the song that the Poros sang. Vayasharna HaParos. When the Poros transported the Aron from the Pelishtim to Kiryas Yearim in the time of Shiloh, after the Churban of Shiloh, it says that in the Psukim that the Poros, they sung Vayasharna. So some of the Mepharshim means they actually, it was a miracle, it was a nes, it was a miracle. They actually were singing words, song. What were the words? And this was a special, the Shechina basically was coming through their mouths. What were they? They were singing these words that were going to Hodla Hashem Kira Vishnu, which would then mean that David himself is not composing these words. These words were basically sent down from heaven. They were sent down from heaven through the mouths of the Paros. That's an incredible idea. It was these words were composed in Shemayim by the Shechina, and the Shechina had these words channeled in the mouths of these cows that were pulling the Aron from the place of the Pelishtim to Kiryas Yearim. Yes. You know, you start up Sukri the Zimmer with Baruch Sha'amar. Who composed Baruch Sha'amar? So there's a legend. The legend is it came from Shemayim. It was a Piskam in HaShemayim. There are 87 words in Baruch Sha'amar. Roshoy Kesem Poz. Roshoy Kesem Poz. Poz is gold, fine gold. The beginning is Kesem Poz. And it was a Piskay. It's a traditional legend that it came out of Shemayim. It came out of heaven. It came down. So that's Baruch Sha'amar. And now you go to Hodu. Who composed Hodu? Also, it's not composed by human beings, according to the Medrash. It was composed by in Shemayim, and it was channeled to the word, not in writing, not on a piece of paper, but through the mouths of the cows that transported the Aron from the Pelishtim to Ir David. So here we go. Hoy Lashem, kod, give thanks to Hashem, kiru b'shmo, declare His name. Hodiu v'amim alilosa, make His name known among the alilosa, means His deeds. Make his deeds known among the nations. So there are three different sections of this pasuk. Give thanks. a general declaration, give thanks to Hashem, kiru v'shmo, call out in His name. And the third is, make it known among the nations His mighty deeds. Let us see the mitzudos. Pasuk Ches. Hoidu Lashem Ratz Leimar. V'zeh Hashir. Hoidu Lashem. This is the song that Asaf was singing every single day in front of the Aron. Kiru v'shmo. Be'ashem hamayuchud lo levado hamora al gedulaso. Call out in His name. B'shmo. So b'shmo is a specific name. The shame hamayuchud. Hodiu. Pirsmu beinu amin pilei masav, make it known among the nations His wonders. Let's see Rashi. Hoidu v'am al yosav. Maise givuroisav v'nifloisav shapal im ha'oroim. So Rashi here is going to do this over and over. He's going to relate this song specifically to the event of the Aron. The Aron was transferred miraculously from the home of the Plishtim to Kiryas. It was a miracle. Kiru v'shmo, kiru Hashem, call out to Hashem. Now here Yazor la'aronoi. Now this means, now we have to remember that the Aron is called Hashem. We had that in the beginning, to a few parakim ago, that unusual pasuk, Asher Nikra Shem. The Aron is called Hashem. Kiru v'shmo means call out to the Aron. In other words, ask the Shechina, be mispalel, that the Aron should have success, that the Aron should be able to have peace, to be transported from one location to the next location, and nothing chas v'shalom should go wrong. Ukurasa b'shem elokeichem ani ekra b'shem Hashem etzel Hashem loyfa loymar loshon kriya shenifleos asa. Okay, I'm not exactly sure the deeper meaning of this. The word Rashi trying to say over here by Hashem, it's called wonders. Every time you refer to Hashem, you use the expression calling out. Let's go to the next pasuk. Ishalu b'shem Hashem, ishalu b'shem Hakadosh. Praise yourself with Hashem's name. Ishalu means, look at the mitzvahs right away, shivchu es atzmo, lehispo'er b'shem Hakadosh asher yora al yicholosai. Call out and praise b'shem Hakadosh. Yismach le mevakshe Hashem, may a heart that seeks at Hashem have joy. Let's do a few psukim together. Pasuk Gedalef, Dirshu Hashem uzo, seek out Hashem and His might. Bakshu fonav tamid, seek out His presence tamid, continuously. Pasuk Yudbei, Zichru nifliyos v'asher asa, remember the wonders that he has done. Moivsav, His... another expression, Moivsav u'mishpate fiyu, and the mishpatim of His peh. The difference between a pella and a mofes. They are two different terms. There's a lot of Torah on this, especially in Chumash Shemos. Moshe did movsim oso sumovsim. The difference between a pella and a mofes is, a mofes is where you take existing matter and you manipulate it. A pella is where you do something completely new. The example given is the mak of oroif. Oroif is the wild animals. In the Chumash, I don't have the exact pasuk in front of me, but it's called there a moifes. Why is it called a moifes? Because it's nothing new. The animals exist. Hashem did not create new animals. Everything exists. The only thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused these animals to collect, to gather, and enter into Mitzrayim. So when you're dealing with things that exist, and you're just doing something unusual, you're bringing about an unusual event by having them all collect and come together and terrorize the Egyptians, that is called a moifes. When you create yesh me'ayin, something new from something that never existed, that is called a pella. The mon is called a pella. Because the mon is lechem in hashamayim. It doesn't exist. It's a new creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A new creation is called a pella, nifla osaf, and an existing thing in this world that's been manipulated in a wondrous way is called a mofetz. So here the pasuk commands zichu nifla osaf. Remember the nifla osaf. Mofetz of those wonders umish b'defiu. Let's see some of the Rashi's. Rashi pasuk yud. His hallelujah b'shem kodesh loymar loymar kol mi shemamin ve'elokav hu yazrenu. Anyone that has faith in Hashem, Hashem will help him. The dugma uvi kudosh Yisrael tishalel, in the holy of Yisrael you shall praise. So here the pasuk here, according to Rashi, is telling us that anyone that has faith in the Shem Kodesho will merit help, and when a person is helped, the person receives benefit. He gives thanks and praise to Hashem. That's the smichus of these three words. It's halu b'shem kodesho. B'shem kodesho is a command. Have faith in Hashem. And when you have faith in Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be at your side. And when he'll be at your side, you'll have reason to give praise. B'shem kodesho. Shiyesh l'cha eloka kodosh. His holy name, you have a holy God. V'chein k'Hashem l'keinu b'chol k'rein lov. Who mi k'Hashem l'keinu b'chol k'rein lov. We call out to Hashem. Yismach le'im avak she'Hashem. U'v'heitiv yachol l'smach libo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does good, be able to rejoice. Mi sh'mavak yesh l'Hashem b'lev sholim l'kach. Person that's able to seek out Hashem will rejoice. Pasuk Yidalef, Tirshu Hashem b'uzo. Mikdosh v'oro nikru oz. The Beis HaMikdosh and the Arun is called the Might of Hashem. The Chsiv, Vayitain, L'shvi Uzo, Shenosan Aronoi L'haviu B'shevi. He gave L'shevi, means to his captive. The Arun here was taken captive. Hashem gave it might. Shenosan Aronoi L'haviu B'shevi. Kilchsiv Kuma Hashem L'mukhasech Atev Anosecha V'chein Alkei Nikra Elozer Hashemro Uzo. Al Shem Sheshamach Aron Shnikra Oz. Now he's saying over here a very big chiddush. We learned in the last parak two parakim ago that Uzzah was smitten because he took out his hand and he tried to prevent the Aron from falling down. He was the Shem to HaBakar. The Bakar were dislodged from the wagon and he was afraid that the Aron would collapse. So he extended his hand and he died. So he is called Uzzah. Rashi here says that it was not really his name. The pasuk identifies Uzzah as who was Ben Aminadav. The Aron was taken from Kiryas Yearim. It was located. The Plishtim brought the Aron from the land of the Plishtim to Kiryas Yearim, to the home of Aminadav. And who was the son of Aminadav? Pasuk makes it very clear, was Elazar. Elazar ben Aminadav. He was the one that cared for the Aron. So Rashi here says that Elazar had another name. His name was Uzzah. Uzzah comes from the Shoresh Oz. Why was he given that name? Because he was in charge of taking care of the Aron. And the Aron is called Oz. So if the Aron is called Oz, the person that's in charge of caring for the Aron was called Uzzah. So Uzzah was not a new person that came out of nowhere. Because you read Sefer Shmuel, and you read Sefer Devarim, and there was a person who was participating in the transport of the Aron, and he was afraid that it was going to fall. He put out his hand, he done. He was called Uzzah. Who is he? We never heard of him before. That's right. He doesn't exist. Uzzah really is another name for the son of Aminadav, who was the host to the Aron in Kiryas Yearim. And the pasuk says, we learned this pasuk a few pasuk, that his son's name was Elazar, and so that was his real name. And he was nicknamed Uzzah. So here we're putting all of these ideas together. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Dirshu Hashem v'Uzo. Seek out Hashem and his Aron. A person should come close to the Aron, because the Aron is the place where the Shekhinah is resting. And I guess in a bigger picture, it means seek out, learn what it says in the Torah. Try to be a Talmud Chacham. So now that we know that the word Uzo refers to the Aron, we now understand why he was Elazar was called Uzo. One more time, words of the Rashi. Rashi says, Pasuk Yidalef, Dirsh Hashem Uzo, Mikdash the Aron, the Beis Hamikdash and the Aron, Nikru Uzo, Dirsev Ayitain Lashavi Uzo, Chenosan Aronu Lehaviu B'Shavi, Hashem allowed the Aron to be restored from captivity. Uchsiv it says, Kuma Hashem Lumnuchasecha Ata, another pasuk, you, the Aron Uzecha. We say this pasuk in davening all the time, you and the Aron Uzecha, your mighty Aron. Therefore, now that we know this secret, Aron is called Uzo, the Alkain, therefore, Nikra Elazar, who was the son of Aminadav, Hashemroi, the guardian of the Aron in Kiryas Yarm, he was called Uza. Al-Shem, Sheshomar Ha-Aron, Shenikra Oz. Dugma, for example, Al-Shem Hashem, Al-Shem Dalad Meo Shekel Kesef, Al-Shem Dalad Meo Shekel Kesef, Vuhu Cheshbon Gematria Shel Ephron, V'chein harbe, we have over here 400 shekel kesef, is the gematria is that the gematria 400? I'm not sure what that means. Of the v'chein harbe din don yodin amo Yehuda yudu chachecha. Okay, I don't know what those examples mean, but this is what he's telling us in this pasuk. So now we know we daven every single day. Dirsh Hashem vuzo sikat Hashem and His Aron, seek out the Aron Kodesh. Bakshu fanav tamid. Pasuk Yud Beis, Zichru Nifli Yosef Asher Osa, most of them say few, next Rashi, Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis, Makas, so the wonders we're referring to here specifically are the hemorrhoids, the intestinal diseases that the Pelishtim suffered from when they captured the Aron. This was a moifes, a pella, a wonder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them in this miraculous way to signal to them that they should return the Aron quickly to Klal Yisrael. Zichru Nifli Yosef Makas Akbarim, the mak of the hemorrhoids, bugs were coming out of their intestines. V'shelakhoi Paros Olos Ubeinehem, Kalu, that they took Paros Olos, baby Paros, Ubeinehem Kalu Bebeis Babayis, and they put their bonim in the bayis, vayisharna haparos, and they sang v'lechazru lachareim, and they did not go backwards. So paratz beuza, and the other miracle of paratz beuza, the miracle refers to the paros. How do they transport the paros backwards? They took mature paros and they attached it to a wagon, and they marched towards Klal Yisrael, Kiryas Yarim. That was a miracle. Why was it a miracle? Because a mother never abandons her child, especially not a paro. A paro will not abandon the eagle. The eagle were locked up in the house, and they were crying. And the mothers were listening to the cries of their baby calves. So it's not natural for the mothers to separate themselves from their babies. But yet this was a miracle that despite hearing their cries, they continued to march close to Kiryas Yarim. Another miracle was Uparatz Be'uza. So Rashi here gives for us three miracles. The miracle that the Pelishtim were smitten with hemorrhoids, which we're calling the Achbarim. The miracle that the Paros transported the Aron back to Kiryas Yarm in a miraculous way as they sang. And the third miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he struck down Uza in a miraculous way. V'chol hashir nase al ha'oron. This is the Yesod of Rashi. The whole shir was composed in honor of the Aron. And they sang it every single day when they offered the Tamid Shal Shachar. Remember Hashem's miracles. People who have pure das. People who have clear minds, tzaddikim, who are tamim in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should reflect upon these miracles and give shir to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go pasuk. Let's see, let's do a few more pasukim. One, maybe we'll do pasuk Yud Gimel. Zera Yisrael Avdo. The seed of Yisrael is a servant. Bnei Yaakov b'chira, the children of Yaakov are His chosen ones. Pasuk Yudalud, Hu Hashem Elokeinu b'chol aretz mishpatav. He is Hashem our God all throughout all in our laws. Pasuk Tezvav, Zichru li'olam b'riso, Davar tzivah li'elefdar. Remember what Hashem gave for 1,000 generations. What exactly does that mean? Let's see with the Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yud Gimel. Zera Yisrael Avdo, Hu Hashem Elokeinu, Zirchu Lilim Briso Adam Yisrael Avdar, HaToyra Asher Tziva Lehoidia Bo'olam Achar Elef Dar. The Torah came into the world after 1,000 generations. When did the Torah appear on the scene? By Matan Torah, Har Sinai. Har Sinai was 1,000 generations since the creation of the world.
Was it a
Mophis? That's well, the giving of the Torah was a Mophis. I don't know.
What?
The world does not exist without Torah. The heavier mayhem teisha neos v'shivim dalu doros. The and Hakadosh Baruch Hu let the world exist for 974 generations. And what about the 26 generations that are missing? That was before. The Torah was created before the creation of the world, 26 generations. So we know these are all very Kabbalistic things, which I have no idea what they mean. But there were 26 generations before the creation of the world, 974 generations after the creation of the world. That's when the moment of Matan Torah took place. And that's why it says, Dovar Asher Tziva Li Elef Dar, the Torah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded should be given after 1,000 generations. It was a miracle. It was an incredible act of kindness on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tolerate the world for 974 generations before, without the observance of the Torah. Yeah.
How long is the generation?
So that's a very good question. So you have to go for the year of Matan Torah was... What was your mantra? 3, 4,
24, 48.
So you divide that by, divide 24.
The Torah mentions it that it was 26 generations from Adam till Mount Torah was 26 generations. 10 to Noah, 10 to
so
Abraham,
different,
and 6 from Abraham to Mount Torah. 26 is the 26th generation of Mount Torah.
So there are different ways to calculate the generations.
That it had, it was supposed to be David Sibilel of Dar. This is the Gemara.
Yeah, yeah.
David Sibilel of Dar, but he couldn't wait anymore.
Aha.
And
okay.
He did it after 26.
After 26, okay. Okay. So this is something which was ideal. It should have been a lot longer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it prematurely. All right, we'll stop here with this. We'll pick this up next time.